and now evangelist David Shannon.
If you will open your Bibles to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And as you're turning there, the only thing I can say is that I made a mistake. If you've been keeping up with our chapters, we should be talking about Ephesians, the fourth chapter tonight. And when I finished outlining this sermon Friday afternoon, it just dawned on me. What I did, you know, you always want to give an excuse. What I did is I thought about the sermon that I would preach on the fourth chapter early in the week. And then when I sat down to put it all on paper Friday, I got to thinking, well, I've preached on the fourth chapter, so I'll go on to the fifth chapter. And then once I got finished, I realized I just thought it out. I'd not preached on it. So anyway, if it's all right with you, we're going to go to the fifth chapter tonight. And next Sunday night, we're going to come back to the fourth chapter because I really want us to have some lessons over the ones that are mentioned in the first part of the fourth chapter. Several of the songs mentioned tonight our walk and our steps that we take through this life. That's not just some man's theory or some man's wording. The Almighty God, working through His inspiration, working through man, penned those words through Paul in Ephesians. For example, in the beginning of the fourth chapter, if you will, look at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You see, we all have a certain way or a certain walk in which we are to live and we are to dwell, and our steps on this life are to reflect a certain path on which we're traveling. For example, if I'm traveling the path of unrighteousness, you can watch my walk, you can watch my life, my steps that I'm taking, and shortly you'll see that I'm on the path of unrighteousness. The same for righteousness. So Paul, especially in the book of Ephesians, it's wonderful to study how he compares Christianity to a certain walk. As we go into the fifth chapter, I want us to see the walk of love, the walk of light, and the walk of wisdom. Tonight, let's give ourselves an open mind so that as we study God's Word, we honestly answer to ourselves, am I really walking in these ways? Because if I'm not, I need to do better. Maybe there's things I need to repent of. Maybe there's things I need to start doing different. But let's make sure tonight when we all leave that we're walking in love and light and wisdom. Read with me, if you will, in the fifth chapter and look for those things as we read. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. There it is. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, the next one, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. We see that the first walk that we can consider in the fifth chapter is the walk in love. Now, how do we walk in love? Paul makes it very clear. He says, you walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Well, how's that? He gave Himself for us. The greatest gift, the greatest part of walking in love is being willing to give. And if you and I want to walk in the love of this life, walking down the pathway of love that Paul's referring to, what you and I must be willing to do is not only give, not only generosity, but be willing to give all of ourselves, just as God gave all of Himself. You see, if you will, turn with me to John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter, parallels with this passage so wonderfully. In the 12th verse of John 15, and we're going to read a couple of verses and stop and make a comment, but don't leave John 15 because we'll come back to it after this comment. John 15, verse 12, Christ says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Well, Christ, how much love? To what degree are you speaking about? And Christ says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So here Paul says what you and I should walk in is walking in love, and that's the type of love that Christ had, and He laid down His life. And then Christ says, "I give you a commandment." Well, what is that, Christ? That you should love each other. Well, what kind of love? To what degree? And Christ says, "So much that you'll be willing to lay down your life. Give completely of self. Greater love hath no man than that." The story's told, and it's supposed to be a true story, of a gentleman who had a rich brother. And one Christmas, his brother gave him a brand new car. And it was a fancy car. And so he was very proud of his car. And as he came out after owning it just for a few days, he saw a young man, a young boy, standing there and admiring the car. And the man kind of smiled, and still being very excited about how he attained the car, he looked at the young boy, and the boy said, "Nice car." And he said, "Yes, my brother gave me that." And the little boy said, "Wow, I wish..." And the man thought in his mind, "Oh, I know what he's going to say." And the little boy said, "I wish I could be a brother like that." And that struck the man different. "You wish you could be a brother like that?" "Yes, I do. That's a nice car. I wish I could give a gift that nice." He was so impressed with the young man, he said, "Well, would you like to just ride in the car?" And his eyes lit up. He said, "I would love to ride in the car." And so as they're going down the road, he looked over to the man and he said, "Do you think maybe you could go to a certain neighborhood?" And the man again thought, "Oh, I know, he's wanting to ride by and impress his friends by taking a ride in a new fancy car." And the little boy said, "I have someone that I want to see this car." And then all at once he said, "Stop." He said, "Can you park in front of these steps for just a minute?" And the little boy got out of the car and he ran up and he came out holding a little boy with polio. And he set him down on the steps right in front of the car. And he said, "Little brother, just like I said, a brand new fancy car. And it didn't cost him anything. His brother gave it to him. And one of these days, I'm going to be a brother just like that. And you won't have to stay in your room anymore. And you can ride and you can see all of the things that you've heard the other boys and girls talk about." The man said, "No, you can do that now." And he loaded the two little boys in the car and he rode them all over town to see the Christmas decorations in the window storefronts. And they rode around all afternoon, and the man concluded the story by saying, "That was the best day of my life. For then I realized the true meaning of Jesus' statement. It's more blessed to give than to receive." Brethren, tonight I ask you, what is your attitude toward love? Do you walk in love in such a way that you say, "I wish I could give like that"? Do you and I have such an awesome respect and a desire to please God that we fall down on our knees and we say, "I want to be a giver like you are a giver, Christ. I want to be able to give all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength to you"? I think that's exactly what Christ had in mind when He told these people, that he had a commandment for them. I think that's exactly what Paul had in mind when he said, listen, if you're going to walk in love, you're going to have to start with the example of Christ. You're going to have to be willing to give it all up. But now there's a flip side to this love. There's a negative side. And Jesus doesn't try to hide it. He lets them know immediately. The positive side is in verse 15 and 16 where he says, I'll call you my friend in 15 if you'll love me like that. He says, you won't be a servant, I'll call you my friend. And 16 he says, you don't have to choose me, I'll choose you. We're still in John 15. But notice in verse 18 he tells the negative side. In 18 he says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. So there's one of the negatives. Jesus says, now if you're going to walk in that type of love, the world's going to hate you, number one. 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So the second negative thing Jesus is implying here is you've got to step out of the world. You can't live for your own pleasure. You have to step out and live for Christ. And then in verse 20, remember, the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. So he says, you're not any greater than me if you're my follower. And so just as I was persecuted, if you are my follower, you too must be persecuted. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for doing right. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Brethren, it was one of the teachings from Jesus' earliest teachings. And it was the behavior of Jesus all the way through is that he stayed with the love of God and he endured the persecution. Today I ask you, what are we willing to sacrifice to be in the love of Christ? You and I, if we're to walk in that path of love, we must be willing to sacrifice it all. Now, if you will, look back in Ephesians 5 and we'll see some things that must be done away with in our life if we're to walk in this love. He mentions three things that we'll mention in verse 3. Fornication must be done away with if we're to walk in this love. All uncleanliness must be done away with and covetousness. I like the way the NIV version translates this particular verse. This particular verse, it says, not be even a hint of sexual immorality, any kind of impurity, or any greed. And then the next verse that mentions the filthiness and the foolish talking and the jesting in verse 4, the same version says obscenity, foolish talking, and coarse joking. Brethren, those are some things that Paul mentions if we're to walk in the pathway of love, they must be done away with, just as Brother Gott mentioned in the prayer a few minutes ago. There are many things that tempt us that we need to build up our strength and to guard against. I was somewhat surprised and then on the other hand, not surprised, but very, very disappointed in the way that it was presented. Just a few weeks ago, I heard the top three selling videos for a particular week, just a few weeks ago. The number one selling home video in America that week was Aladdin. The second, I can't remember what it was, but it was another children's movie. And the announcer, with as if it was just a statement of fact, said, now the first two movies were for the children. And the third movie is for dear old dad. And it's Playboy's new release. That was the third best-selling movie in America. It was for Dad. There's two things wrong with that statement. Number one, that shouldn't be the bestseller in America, but it is. Number two, we shouldn't be thinking that it's for a family man. That's our mindset in America now of a family man. Someone that has no values, but instead is involved in all kind of immorality. Brethren, let's make sure that it does not creep into the church. Let's make sure that it does not creep into our lives. But let's make sure that as we're walking the path of love, that we are in fact on that path, and that we haven't strayed from it. Verse 4 is what probably the Puritans took very literal. And if you've studied very much history at all, you know that the Puritans did not believe in any kind of jesting or joking whatsoever. That was a sin in their mind. I don't think that that's the extreme that you and I should take verse 4. But on the other hand, I know that our society has taken the other extreme too far. Brethren, there are some things that God will not allow you and I to joke about. And one thing we should never take lightly is sin. There's no place to joke about sin and to take that lightly. I think especially the things Paul had in mind were the things mentioned just above in the third verse. I think also that one thing in this foolish talking that surely was part of the consideration, and that's referring to any kind of holy things or any kind of names such as God, Jesus Christ, heaven, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, any of those things surely should not be taken in vain and taken in such a light way. I hope all of us here guard our tongues. You know, James tells us the man that can control his tongue is a perfect man. Let's make sure that if we work on our being and on our spiritual being, that one thing we work on in particular is that we do not allow ourselves to use God's name or any kind of blasphemy, any kind of reviling where we talk about sacred things in a light manner or kid about things that are very serious. And let's make sure that we even guard our tongue against the slings. You know, there are so many words in our slang vocabulary that are so closely related to the other religious words. Let's not be guilty of such things, but let's guard ourselves. And let's make sure that we realize that's a part of what Paul is speaking about surely as he talks about the walking in love that we are to do. Also, if you'll notice in the 8th verse, in the 8th verse, he says there's another type of walking. Of course, it's the same pathway of righteousness. But here in the 8th verse, he says, walk as children of light. You see, we step out of darkness, repentance. And obeying the gospel, we have those sins forgiven through the remission of those sins through baptism. Now we have a new way to live. The way of light. Children of light. There are three things that identify, at least Paul says, that identify whether or not I'm truly in that light. And notice, those are in verse 9. He says, first of all, it's goodness. Second, righteousness. And third, truth. Those are characteristics that is in every life that is in the walk of light. The goodness is the goodness that leads to good works. As we mentioned, I believe it was just last Sunday night. If you follow me around long enough, if I am walking in the light, you should see some good works. Now, he says also the righteousness. You and I should always be standing up for what's right. We should demand justice in our life, and we should demand treating others in a just way. We should be standing for every form of righteousness, not selling it for any price, not sacrificing it for any reason. We must demand righteousness. The third thing he mentioned there was truth. The same with truth. We shouldn't stand on anything else. We long for it. We hope for it. We believe in it. We stand on it. We love it. We live it. We learn it. Truth. It's a part of being in the light. The third walk that he mentions is the walk of wisdom. Notice in verse 15, we're not to walk circumspectly or as fools, but as wise. Now I hope we have covered many verses tonight, and by no means have we been able to elaborate on them as much as we could and probably even should. But I especially hope this week, and I know many of you study your Bibles daily, and I hope all of you will, go back and look over this 5th chapter and give even more thought to the points that's been made, and especially this third point. Paul outlines very clearly three things that are a part of walking in wisdom. Notice the next three verses. Number 1, 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You and I need to be wise with our time. James tells us that life is like a vapor. It just vanishes in just a short while. What would you do this week? I know this is a big question, But what would you do this week if you knew you were only to live 1 week? Who would you talk to about spiritual things? Who would you go to and say, this has bothered me for years and I want to make it right? Who would you go to and say, I've been meaning to do this for quite some time and I just wanted to pass this favor on to you, or I wanted to give you this compliment or this encouragement? Brethren, I know we're not capable of doing everything at one time, but we must be wise with our time, redeeming the time. Because if you and I start wasting time, before long we'll allow ourselves to be involved in things of evil background or evil nature, instead of involving the things of righteousness. Now the second thing he says that's in all people's lives that are wise is that in verse 17, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's an understanding spirit about us. How many of you are content to say, well, I really don't know that much about the Bible? Let's make sure that none of us are content to say that. This is something that's the power of God into salvation. I must long to learn it so that I in fact can live it. And so I should have a longing to understand what God's will is in my life. I need to look at the opportunities before me and understand what God wants me to do. Look at the abilities in my life and understand. And then thirdly, he says about wisdom, don't be filled with wine where is an excess. Instead, be ye filled with the Spirit. You see, the truth is, a wise person never allows themselves to become involved in anything that takes control of their lives other than the Word of God. It may be alcohol, as mentioned here. If I'm involved in alcohol and it takes over my actions, it takes over my mindset, we all know how drunkenness changes the behavior of individuals. Wise individuals don't allow anything in their system that changes their behavior to the point of sin. It may be gambling. It may be poor company that has a greater control over us than we have of ourselves. And the list could go on and on. But in my life, I need to make sure that I always allow the Word of God to control me. Because that's what wise people do. Tonight, simple question, but it's a powerful question. Are you walking in love, in light, and in wisdom? If not, I plead with you. I plead with you this day. We don't know if we have another week. We may have several years, or we may only have several hours. There's no better time than now. No better time than now to walk in light and love and wisdom. We've talked about a few minutes ago the plan of salvation. If you've obeyed that, but yet you've fallen, come back and ask forgiveness of sins and don't be a stumbling block for anyone. We can help you in any way. Come as we stand and as we sing.